You've ever heard me talk about it, but Hebrew was not my favorite class in seminary. In fact, I did a little dance in the middle of my kitchen floor when I passed Hebrew because it meant I wasn't going to have to take it again. But there are some things that I would like to highlight as we begin looking into this book, which I think is unique in some ways, and David is right, it is when it was written, when Psalm 119 was written, it took every letter of the Hebrew alphabet and formed an acrostic, and it's poetic in that sense. But there are a few other things about it too. It is also the longest chapter in the entire Bible. And I thought about having David read the entire chapter, but I don't know if he would have agreed to that. I think it's 176 verses. So that is there, but there's also, as we look in particularly today, the beginning of the scripture, but then in beginning of verse chapter 129, we read there's a highlight of the Torah. And if you're not familiar with what the Torah is the first five books of the Bible. It's also called the Pentateuch at times. So it would be Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So when this is being read, and in the Judaic tradition, what happened was not many people could read, but at least every 3 days or so, the Torah was to be shared. And so it had a significant meaning in this culture. And I believe what we see today is going to translate into how we are to embrace and understand the Scriptures, not just the Torah, not just Genesis through Deuteronomy, but through the entire Scriptures that we have today. If you want to know a little bit more about it, as you read through Psalm 119, if you were to do a Hebraic study about it, there is a word in almost every verse of Psalm 119 that is a synonym for the Torah. And just a couple of examples, debar is one word that's in there, and it would be translated word or promise. And you'll see that even into today's reading. There's also mispatim, which is another word for rulings, which also refers specifically to the Torah. So it's a true celebration. Psalm 119 highlights the Torah as a source of blessing and right conduct. So I share all this. That might not be something that's going to mean a lot to you after you leave today, but I want you to know the context in which David is the anticipated author and writer of this, where the context, where this is coming from, and why it's so important to David. But I believe it should also be important to us today. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your scriptures, for your sacred scriptures. And Lord, as we come to this, we begin to understand that even for David, even in this time, in a context where the Bible took on a different form because it was in the form of a scroll that was taken out and read before a congregation, and it wasn't something they had access to in the way we do today. But Lord, it was what they considered to be life-changing. It was evidence of your blessing to them. It was a direction and a guide for the way they were to live. And Lord, here David is writing and celebrating in a very poetic way the meaning, the love that he has for these writings, for your law. So Lord, help us as we look, as we study his word, as we study a few verses out of this chapter today, help us to understand the relevance you desire them to have in our lives so many years later, in your living word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what I would like to do, if you want to follow along and have a kind of an outline of where we're going with this, I picked up key phrases from each one of the verses in 33 through 40. I listed those in your bulletin. And I just want to comment briefly on each one of those and what that may mean and how it's relevant, what it says about us and how we're to use the Bible. And before I get into that, I'm wondering if you would think about, and you aren't going to have to share this with anyone, but I want you to take a moment to reflect on it.
how did you use your Bible? Where does your Bible sit? How often do you pick it up?
When you read it, what's the context of reading? Do you share it with other people? Is it something you read to yourself? How much do you understand it? Those are some things I would challenge you to wrestle with during this sermon and hopefully even after today. So we begin. In the very beginning of the scripture, it begins off with David saying, "Teach me." And he's talking about the Torah. He's talking about the scripture that he has there in front of him. So I'm wondering what it would mean for us to say, "God, teach me. Teach me your scriptures." To me, what this saying, it's not just about reading. It's not just about having a book and opening it up and reading the words on the page and checking a box saying, "Yes, I've done that for today." I think it involves study and reflection. But then another question I had for myself is, am I a teachable student of the scriptures? And you know, I fall into a trap myself. I don't know what your trappings may be and what your struggles may be with the Bible, but with me, you know what mine is? Being a pastor, I read the scripture, and over again, I catch myself, instead of reading the scripture and really allowing it to be something about me and God, it becomes, how am I going to turn this into a sermon? How is this going to relate to the next small group I'm going to be a part of helping to teach? And so those things aren't bad, but I can get sidetracked and distracted from what God may be wanting to do personally with me through those scriptures. So it takes effort. And I think for all of us to be a teachable student, we have to be open in that way for the scriptures to speak to us. So we have to be willing to learn. So I want to think about teaching a little bit. This, I hope, is involving a little bit of teaching, the worship that we have when we come together as a congregation. But that's only one level of learning. And that's really not enough. We all need to have personal time with the Scriptures. We need to allow the Scriptures to speak to us. But you know, I even had a conversation with someone this week, and they said, "You know, Greg, I try. I want to read the scriptures, and I try to read the scriptures, but it's just hard. And I'm not a reader. Never have been. Don't know that there's but one book I ever read the entire thing through, and that was because I had to in school. Probably should have read more through, but he apparently didn't. He got by without having to read as much as his teachers probably wanted him to. So reading wasn't his thing. So does that mean that the scriptures aren't going to be able to connect? If reading isn't something you're gifted at, does that mean that you just fall out of this opportunity to experience the scriptures? I don't think so. I think we need to be aware of our own learning styles. In fact, something that we have now, if you're not one that is able to read and comprehend, but maybe you can hear better, There's all sorts of opportunities. There's apps on your phone, there's tapes, CDs, all sorts of different things where you can listen to Scripture in all kinds of different translations. So maybe that's one thing that would help. But there's also other ways of absorbing the Scriptures. I'm not going to take time to go into all of that today, but be open to how it is that you might experience the Scriptures. There's lots of different ways to do that. But don't give up just because one way that you may have heard or someone suggested isn't connecting with you. But then, so we've got worship, we've got personal study, but there's another one that I've seen really transforming people even in our church recently, and that's through small groups or Sunday school. Mandy came up and talked about our Sunday school today, and I'm so thankful for those who've given time and effort and energy to teach and be a part of that. And I can tell you, there are a lot of us, and a lot of people have told me, they're enjoying being in the Sunday school classes they are now, and they feel like God's really teaching, and they're getting something out of that. And a lot of us, that's very important, but we also need people that are going to help teach so that our children, our youth, our young people, adults have opportunity to learn in that way. But in the midst of those Sunday school classes or in those small groups, you know what happens? It's something that's different than just in worship. It's something different than just in personal Bible study. You get together and you talk about the Scriptures and you understand how those Scriptures are relevant to other people's lives, and it begins to open your eyes as to how it may make a difference to you. But then also you get to share, and it becomes a light bulb for other people. That's teaching. That's learning. That's celebrating the Scripture and the truth that it is in our lives today. That was the first one. The next, David prayed, "Give me understanding." So what's the difference in that and study? What does "give me understanding"? I want to challenge you to think about these things. And again, it's something that you'll have to figure out what this is on your own, and how you go about addressing it, and how much God wants you to. And I think it's different for different people and where you are. But there's understanding in terms of the historical context of what we're reading. And I think that can be valuable at times. And there are people who history is their thing. Now, I'm not, and there's some people shaking their head saying, "You're crazy." But it is. There's some people that they really enjoy history. And so in understanding that historical context, all of us could benefit some from it. But for those who history is their thing, it opens up a world of the context of those Scriptures when we take time to study it. There's also a literary context. There's also the spiritual context of what God's doing with His people in the context of what's being shared in that Scripture. But the one that I really want us to remember and focus on is that the Holy Spirit is a part of helping us understand all of that in the way He wants us to. And so the Holy Spirit, in order for us to benefit from the Scriptures and the way God desires it, God through the Holy Spirit has to be a part of helping us to interpret those Scriptures. And so I've had conversation after conversation recently with people who are talking about reading the Scripture and want to understand it more. And I say, before you do anything else in reading the Scripture, you need to pray. And you need to pray to God that you will have revelation that will not come from your intellect, that will not necessarily come from a commentary, that will not necessarily come from what somebody else said, but that God will take all of what is there and His Holy Spirit will speak to you in the way God desires to, because this Word is a living Word. It's not just a bunch of words that are put on a piece of paper. It's words that are intended to impact our lives. And God, the God of the universe, is the author. And that's a big thing. The next one, David prays, "Direct me." God can direct us in our reading, in our focus, in our application. So I've practical questions. How, when, and where do you read the Scripture? Are you intentional about that? What difference is it going to make about how, when, and where you read the Scripture? I think it makes a great difference. So don't be haphazard. Allow God to be a part of guiding you in that. I'm telling you, the Bible is something too often we take for granted. We've got it here as the centerpiece at the altar this morning. And we'll say it's meaningful, but do we act like it? Do we make it a part? What do we use more in our daily lives? Our Bible or our credit card? And what do you think that says about us? And there's many different ways to use the Bible. I don't mean you carry around something this big in your pocket like you carry around your credit card. But if we really get into our Scripture every day, it becomes a part of our heart, mind, and soul, and we do carry it with us, and it does impact the decisions we make, and it even impacts how we use the credit card. It should be that important. So direct me was one. Next, control my heart. Embracing the power of the Scriptures is not merely a matter of the mind. Discipline of Scripture reading should change not only what we know and think, it should also change who we are on the inside. So again, it's not just an intellectual exercise. It's not just something so you can say you know some verses. It's not just something so when somebody asks you a question, "Oh yeah, I know where that is. I read it." Like, no, it should be something that changes us on the inside and makes our lives different. The next one, keep me close to Your Word. David is praying, "God, keep me close to the Torah. Keep me close to it because I know it's important." And if he's praying this, he obviously is acknowledging that he has struggles at times that he doesn't stay as close to the Torah as he should. It's not the priority that it should be. And he's saying, God, help make that happen. And so, you know, in our humanness, we realize that there are things throughout our day that distract us from what God wants us to make important. But we need to acknowledge that and come back to it again and again. Another one. Fulfill your promises to me, is what David says. Know God's promises and give credit where credit is due. I love talking about the promises of Scripture. And right here, David is just specifically talking about the promises of the Torah, simply the first five books of the Bible. But they are filled throughout all of the Scriptures. So what does this look like for us? What does it mean when he's saying, fulfill your promises to me? I believe it's important that we read and study the Bible, and maybe there's even a study that we go through and we figure out, whether we Google it, whether we are in some type of study with it, whether we're just reading through it, the Bible, and make notes. But we need to record the promises God has put in the Bible. We need to know the promises that he has made, and then we can claim those promises. And then we can keep track of them and know when they're God's blessing us and they're coming true. We read and study them, we know them, we pray them, and then we keep track of promises fulfilled. I want to share with you just three that I think are pretty special, three that I just picked out. Here's one: come, you who are weak and weary, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. Any of you ever been in a place where it would have been helpful for you to claim that promise? How about, all who listen to me will live in peace? Proverbs 1:33. You can live in peace in the middle of a war zone. The type of peace God's talking about. Then the last one I'll share. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10. There are two more. Keep me from sin. He prayed this: God, keep me from sin. And he's talking in the context of the Torah. There's example after example after example of where God's people did not follow his will and how God treated them and disciplined them. And so he's saying, God, I want you to do that for me. I want you to keep me from my sin. And so we need to pray that, and we need to be aware of our sins. And when we pray, God already knows what we've done, but we need to be specific, not because God doesn't know, because we need to make confession. And it makes a difference in what we're going to do and how we're going to do it in the future. And finally, fill my yearning for your righteousness. Being connected to God in a way should be a part of our heart's desire. Being connected to God through the Scripture should become something that's so special and so important that we yearn to be there. We embrace the opportunity. I want to close by mentioning another pastor. I don't usually do this, particularly not this one, not because I dislike him or anything. He and I just tend to be at different places and handle things a little bit differently. But some of you may have heard about Jonathan Falwell, and that he was in St. Martin, I think it was. And he was in the eye of the storm when it was coming. And I don't know Jonathan. I think I may have talked to him, mentioned in passing once or twice. But I do think I know enough about him to know he's a man of God. And my guess is that in the time when he was there, when that hurricane was coming, when he was on, I think it was his 25th wedding anniversary, and on his 25th wedding anniversary, that he had probably put a lot of money and planning into and wanted to surprise his wife and didn't tell her till about a week before they were going to go. And then on the anniversary of their wedding night, they spent it in a shelter with over 200 other people. Probably not the way he intended. But you know, I'm guessing that he realized the opportunity. And I think God probably used him and used his knowledge of the Scriptures whether he had a Bible, whether there were other people there that had Bibles with them or not. He was put in an opportunity where God was able to use him, and I feel probably blessed in ways he could never have anticipated. But not only that, allowed him to be at a place where there were people that were hurting and scared and uncertain of their future. And yes, it's appropriate for us to want to go and celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary in a special way. But when God puts us in a place with an opportunity to follow him, we need to be able and willing to respond. And I just say that because it ties to what we have, many of us are experiencing in terms of the hurricane. But I tell you, when you have the Word as a part of your life, it makes a difference in every aspect of life, no matter what the struggle is, no matter whether it's a hurricane, no matter whether it's an impending health and not sure about the life of a loved one, about struggles with jobs, whatever it may be, God's Word makes a difference. Let's not take it. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up, and we're going to have our closing invitation hymn. And I'll be here at the front. And I welcome, if you want to come, I'd love to pray with you. If there are challenges, struggles, I'd love to do that. The altar's open. You don't have to pray with me. You can come straight to the altar. But I want us, if when I ask you to think about your Bible, to think about where it said, how you used it, how much it was a part of your life, I encourage you to pray about that now. This is a very special gift given to us by God. And I want you to give some serious thought during this time of invitation. Is it being used by you in the way God desires it at this point in your life? And you know, the way God wants you to embrace the Scripture and study the Scripture and know the Scripture is probably different than the way he wants me to do it or the person beside of you. So don't feel like anybody, myself, anyone else, is trying to pigeon you in a hole that you have to be some big biblical scholar. I'm just saying there's some cool stuff in here God wants you to know. He wants you to know how much he loves you. He wants you to know the promises that he gives you. He wants you to know the help that he wants you to have. He wants you to know the peace you can live in and how to help other people. And that's just it. Let's stand together and sing Trust and Obey, hymn number 477.
447?
447.